From Illinois Public Media, this is The 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. Today we're talking about a new report from a coalition of policy and civic organizations that recommends expanding Illinois' sales tax to include more services, something that the report's authors say could generate around $2 billion in new revenue annually for the state. The report is called Modernizing Illinois' Sales Tax, A Pathway to a Sustainable Future. The groups behind it are the Civic Federation, the Chicago Metropolitan Agency for Planning, the Illinois Economic Policy Institute, and the Center for Tax and Budget Accountability. Joining us today are two people from the Center for Tax and Budget Accountability, or CTBA as it's known. Ralph Martiri is Executive Director, and Elaine Gaberick is Research Associate. Ralph and Elaine, welcome back to the 21st Show. Thanks for being with us.
Well, thanks for having us on.
Great to be here. Thank you.
And listeners, you can always, as always, join us for the first part of our show today, at least at 800-222-9455. 800-222-9455. All right, Ralph, I'm going to start with you. The report describes Illinois' sales tax structure as outdated and misaligned with economic activity. What does that mean?
It's real simple. I mean, first of all, the economy has changed dramatically, as everyone knows, in the last 30 or 40 years. We've gone from a primarily products-based economy to a service-based economy, so much so that currently services comprise about 74% of all the economic activity in the state of Illinois, whereas the sale of goods are only 17%. Problem is, our sales tax base applies primarily to the sale of goods, not services. And so leaving the largest and fastest growing segment of your economy mostly out of your tax base is a prescription for failure, for your tax revenue to not grow with the economy because you're not taxing the economy. And here, the data are somewhat compelling. So after you adjust for inflation, the sales tax revenue collected by the state of Illinois in 2025, projections for the end of this fiscal year, are that it'll actually be $800 million less in real inflation-adjusted terms than it was way back in the year 2000, 25 years ago. And that's pretty strong condemnation. And really, if you compare Illinois nationally, you see a similar story. So we currently raise less per capita than most other states. In fact, the National Taxpayers Federation found that our per capita collections are $201 per person, are 12% below the national average. And we had the lowest growth in per capita sales tax revenue between 2009 and 2023 of any of our Midwestern neighbors or peer states, like similar size states like Pennsylvania, et cetera. So the bottom line is, because our sales tax base, what our sales tax applies to, doesn't match where the modern economy is, our revenue growth doesn't grow with the economy, and that creates fiscal problems that flow all the way from the state down to municipal governments, and it constrains revenue growth to the point where revenues will not grow at the rate costs grow. And that creates deficits at the state and local level. Those deficits have to be filled one way or another. Unlike the federal government, state and local governments in Illinois are not allowed to deficit spend. So we see all kinds of problems generated by this fundamental flaw in our tax policy.
Elaine Gaberick, let me ask you what exactly, you know, the services we're talking about. I think the report indicates 29 out of 176 different sort of types of consumer services are taxed currently. What are the sort of things that are untaxed that might be included if this change were taken up?
Exactly. So compared to other states, you know, Illinois does have a very narrow tax base because we don't tax any of these consumer services. So in the report, we use some analysis from the Federation of Tax Administrators, and we found that Illinois taxes about 29% of the 176 service categories laid out in their analysis. So the average in this study was 58 categories, so we're taxing half of that. And while we do tax some things like utilities, hotels, and commercial parking, to name a few, we do so under separate rates and authorities, so you know, that's not how typically how other states do it. and it really doesn't capture a large portion of the service economy, as Ralph said.
Yeah,
So what
well,
our
what's
proposal,
Oh, sure, go ahead.
sorry, go ahead.
Well, I was just saying, what's left on the table? I mean, haircuts and
Exactly.
lawn mowing is always the example you hear. I wonder if there are any more obscure things that people don't maybe think about.
I think, yeah, we need to keep it as broad as possible. We put a few exceptions in, such as professional services, healthcare services. But yeah, to name a few, I think construction services, haircuts, anything like any of those sorts of things. Just a very broad gym memberships, for example. I think that was another one used in the report as well. So I think the best way to kind of wrap your mind around it is just to think about a very broad-based service tax expansion in this
So,
case.
yeah, so okay, so one of the other things the report mentions is that high income households spend a lot more on these untaxed services than low income households do, and I guess that makes it sort of a regressive tax in the language that tax experts use. Ralph, can you talk about, sort of specifically the kind of luxury services and I guess what you might call the economic justice argument for this?
Yeah, and it's really interesting. I mean, most people really don't understand taxes and how they work. So let me be clear about one thing. Virtually every tax and fee that are available to state and local government are regressive, as you say. That is, they will take a greater percentage of the annual earnings of a low to moderate income family than they will of an affluent family. The sales tax, even one that's broadened out in its base like we're suggesting, will still be regressive. But it'll be less regressive. And the reason for that are consumption patterns. So, as things stand today, lower income families, as folks in the very lowest earnings quintile, spend about 60% of their take-home pay on goods, taking care of the family. Higher income families up in the top spend more than five times more of their disposable income on the services we don't tax, like Elaine mentioned, gym memberships and going to the spa. I think the classic example is, the affluent family in Barrington, Illinois, buys a lawn service and pays for that and to take care of their lawn and doesn't pay a nickel of income of sales tax on it, whereas the low income or middle income family in Peoria or Springfield buys a lawnmower and pays a sales tax on the lawnmower. So this would make the system fairer than it currently is. There would still be some regressivity left over. And the good news is there are ways to target tax relief to offset that regressivity through other credits and things available to the state, primarily through the income and property tax, things that you're familiar with. The state of Illinois has an earned income tax credit. And the strength of the Illinois earned income tax credit is that it's fully refundable, meaning if you're a low income family with some kids and you're working and you qualify for, let's say, a $200 credit in Illinois, but you only owe the state $100 in income taxes. Obviously, 200 is more than 100, so you don't have to pay your income taxes. And then you get a check for the balance. You get a check for $100. You get the full value of that $200 credit. So when we bring more money into the state by modernizing our system to reflect the modern economy and expanding our base to include consumer services, we could generate enough revenue to provide some very targeted tax relief that goes to low and middle income families by doing things like expanding the earned income tax credit or the circuit breaker that low-income seniors get to apply against their property tax burden. So, big picture, if we just expanded the sales tax base to include consumer services, it would be less regressive than a sales tax like what we have now that is focused primarily on the sale of goods. It would automatically be less regressive. But if we even wanted to do more from a fairness standpoint, and Illinois should, because we are always one of the more regressive taxing states in America, every national study shows that, then we would have enough additional revenue through the expansion of the sales tax base to offset all the other, unfair regressive taxes, the excise taxes on things like gasoline and alcohol, the property taxes, et cetera, that all families pay. And believe me, renters pay property taxes, landlords don't. So we would have enough revenue to expand these other credits and even make the state tax system fairer. So really, this is a crucial tax policy piece to really improve our overall tax system in a couple of ways. modernize it so it generates revenue that will grow with the economy over time. And that addresses our long-term structural imbalances between revenue growth and service cost growth, which lead to deficits at the state and local level, and target some of the money that we raise to provide tax relief specifically to low and moderate income families to make our overall system fairer in other ways.
Elaine, you know, Illinois, as you know, as we know from the report, has one of the highest composite sales tax rates in the country in some jurisdictions. I think Springfield is the example used there. It's got a 10.75% rate, which is the state tax, the standard local government rate, an extra rate imposed by the city, 1% for the county schools. And depending on where you're shopping, and my kids could tell you this, if you buy your Legos at Scheels as opposed to Barnes & Noble, for example, there's an extra 1% tax rate just for that business improvement district, they call it. So how do you think of that and this idea of compounding? And, you know, like you mentioned, there are other, you know, hotels and car rentals are already taxed with these wide array of overlapping jurisdictions. Would reducing some of those or standardizing some of those be part of this conversation?
Yeah, so you're absolutely right. We have this, you know, overlapping, maybe somewhat complex sales tax system, depending on where you make your purchase in the state. That final rate you pay very much could vary. And the way that we looked at expanding the sales tax base in our report keeps the sales tax for the state at that 5%. It would allow that 1.25%, that's the local rate, to be collected as well. It would also allow for home rule municipalities to, you know, impose additional local sales tax if that's what they would want to do. Home rule localities are those that can impose a local sales tax rate without a ceiling, whereas non-home rule localities can only go up to an additional 1%. And then that also includes the regional transit authority sales tax, which is applicable in six counties up in northeastern Illinois. That is 1% for Cook County and a 0.75% for all the collar counties. So I think the way that our report takes this stance is that all of these localities could stand to gain a lot from this expansion of the tax base as well. And just like Ralph said in the previous question, this would create a less regressive revenue source for all of these municipalities as well, which I think would be a very good thing.
So we need to take a break in a few minutes here, and I'm going to have to hold you to that. And we'll come back and talk more about it when we come back. But Ralph, the report estimates, $2 billion annually for the state, although that would take time. We'll hear some comment later from the Taxpayers Federation, which worries about how long that might take. I mean, how did you arrive at that $2 billion number?
You know, it's simple math. I mean, we looked at estimates done predicated on consumer patterns of purchasing and applied it to the services being purchased in Illinois by class category, multiplied it by the state rate, and, you know, Bob's your uncle, there's the $2 billion amount. There's actually other estimates that are out there for what this would generate. I mean, if we broadly taxed the exact same consumer services that they're taxing right now in Iowa and Wisconsin, two of our neighboring states that have broad modern sales tax bases, the COGFA estimated that would generate about $2.6 billion for the state. So it'll certainly be in the $2 billion to more range. We wanted to be more conservative in the projections that we used in this report, just so that it's better to be pleasantly surprised with your revenue growth than to be sorely disappointed that it didn't quite raise what you were hoping for after you try to spend your new revenue. But it'll generate that kind of revenue. And the better news really is that the revenue will continue to grow with the economy, because we are not going back to a product-based economy. We are going to stay in a service-based economy. This modernization will really be helpful long-term and really address some of the fundamental flaws in the state's fiscal system. And as Elaine was discussing, I think she's exactly right, there's an opportunity then, because the local governments, the municipalities, counties, the transit authorities will all be benefiting from the sales tax base expansion because their rates are piggybacked on the state's base. So when the state expands its base, their revenue collections will automatically go up too. There's an opportunity for two things to happen. Number one, you have to have some sort of streamlining done so you're not imposing duplicative taxes, right? And so state, local governments that are already taxing certain things that now fall into the state base, you got to make sure that you work out that taxation to ensure it's not being done in some sort of, you know, duplicative way that creates an unnecessary tax burden, I think. But second, because some of these local governments that have been forced to expand, or I should say increase their sales tax rate because our base is so narrow, they needed to do whatever they could do to get adequate revenue to fund local services, can now say, hey, because we're getting so much new money from this base expansion, the pressure comes off our rate and we could probably bring the rate down. And those kinds of discussions are good for taxpayers across the state. I mean, basically what you really want at the end of the day are the broadest bases and lowest rates possible on your taxes. That's sort of fundamental good tax policy 101.
All right. We're going to have to take a break. We will continue with Ralph Martiri and Elaine Gaberick from the Center for Tax and Budget Accountability. We're talking about potentially expanding the state's sales tax. This is the 21st Show. Stay with us. It's the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. We are talking with Ralph Martiri, Executive Director of the Center for Tax and Budget Accountability, and Elaine Gaberick, Research Associate with the Center. They, along with a coalition of other civic organizations, are out with a new report proposing an expansion of Illinois' sales tax to include many more services. You can join our conversation at 800-222-9455, although we're only going to be on this for about half of this next segment. Want to know if have you noticed your spending shifting from goods to services over the years? What type of services do you think should remain exempt from an expanded sales tax? And would you support expanding the sales tax if it meant potential relief in other tax areas or improved funding for education or public transit? 800-222-9455. All right, Ralph, previous attempts to expand the sales tax base have failed. I wonder what lessons from those efforts you've incorporated into, you know, into this. What obstacles are you expecting to have to overcome?
Yeah, I think the easiest lesson to learn is that Illinois has a unique clause in its state constitution, a uniformity clause. And under the uniformity clause, we basically have to make sure that any sales tax base expansion must be consistently applied and can only have reasonable exceptions. And in the past, there was too much cherry picking going on. And that's the kind of thing that usually raises legitimate issues under the state's uniformity clause in its constitution. So the approach that we think should be taken is you broadly apply your base expansion to all consumer services and then make some very rational exemptions from that broad expansion. And you heard Elaine talk about this a little before, she got it exactly right. There's a couple of things you exempt that are true consumer expenditures but aren't really volitional expenditures, things like housing, childcare, healthcare. Those are things that you're voluntarily going out and spending your money on. And they can be highly regressive to tax, things like childcare services for a low-income family, et cetera, housing services. So leave those out of your expansion of your business-to-business services. It absolutely makes no sense to be putting a sales tax on transactions that are purely business to business as opposed to the end user, the consumer. And the reason for that is if you think about it, it creates a really bad situation called tax pyramiding, where let's say business A sells its service to business B, you put a sales tax on that. Business B then sells its service to business C, and you put a sales tax on that. Well, whatever that service price was that went to business C, it already was increased by the tax it had to pay on the first transaction. Now there's a tax on a tax. And as that flows through the economy, what happens is you consistently put a tax on a tax on a tax, making the production of products and services that primarily flow through the Illinois economy artificially high in price because they've been double, triple, quadruple taxed, the end user, the consumer, will end up paying all those taxes or the vast majority of them in the final product of what they purchase, not know they're paying all those taxes and be paying a higher tax than they should. So you would exempt the business-to-business transactions. That makes sense. And in professional transactions, you know, lawyers, accountants, a lot of folks would like to tax those things. I mean, I'm a former attorney, and there are certainly some members of the bar I would like to tax out of his existence that I used to work with. But the bottom line is most states don't tax those things, even those with very broad sales tax bases. And they are the big money there is really in the business-to-business sector, which is also a tax pyramiding problem. So you carve out those big sectors, and you just leave in those kinds of things Elaine talked about before: haircuts, lawn care, bowling, auto repair services. Right now you pay a sales tax on the part, not on the labor. Just true consumer services. And I think you'd be able to overcome the past problems and have something that could really pass muster with the state uniformity clause and really be very good for the state long term.
Elaine, how do you respond to, because we, you know, the service providers are going, if this gains traction in Springfield, the service providers are going to descend, you know, Ralph mentioned bowling. I just learned this year there's a bowling association, bowling operators association. They're going to be in Springfield, no doubt, saying this is going to put them out of business. It's an unfair burden on them. How do you respond to that?
I think I would respond to that by just going back to what we talked about at the top of the show, you know. When you look at our neighboring Midwest states, when you look at, you know, most other states with a large population like Illinois has, you know, they have these wider sales tax bases that do include, you know, most of these services. And Illinois seems to be, you know, the exception rather than the rule when we look at the entire country. So, you know, if this is something other states are doing and other states aren't having the same state revenue problems that Illinois is having, well, maybe they're doing something that we should be doing.
Yeah, and if I could just pile on there, because I love this question. This is the quintessential issue that comes up. Many years ago when I testified in favor of expanding the state sales tax base to include services at a Senate hearing, I had all these charts and data, and literally Democrats and Republicans, even those that weren't necessarily predisposed to support any sort of revenue increase, were nodding their heads. Yes. Oh my goodness. All the, you know, the growth in the private sector economy of the importance of services versus products, our lack of competitiveness to other states and our tax policy, our failure to match modern economic trends. They're all nodding their heads. I'm showing them all the data. And then a lobbyist from a business association gets up there and goes, you know, I don't have any charts or graphics or data like Martiri there does, but my gut says this would be bad for small businesses. And, oh, bad for business, and we can't do it. Look, it's not bad for business. And in fact, Iowa and Wisconsin, for instance, have been taxing things like haircuts for decades. Have you seen busloads of people from Iowa and Wisconsin coming into Illinois to get their haircut? No, you have not. One of the silliest things. Now, if you've seen their haircuts, maybe they should come because there's some silly looking haircuts in those states, but they're not doing it for tax reasons. The second point I really like to hammer home here is the state of Illinois has a law called the retailer's discount. The retailer's discount allows businesses that apply and collect the sales tax on behalf of the state to keep 1.75% of whatever they collect as an administrative fee. Now, we just capped what they collected this year at about $2,000 a month, which is a pretty high cap. But for all these small businesses, no one's going to bowl less because they're paying a 6.25% service charge on bowling. But that business, that small entity, is going to be able to keep 1.75% of what it collects and put it in its pocket. And after you pay your small administrative charge of putting together a software package that could account for it, this becomes a profit center for those small businesses. Mm. So this is absolutely not going to be bad for small businesses. It is absolutely not going to be bad for these providers. And what we have witnessed from our neighboring states that already tax these services is people don't leave the state to get to, you know, get their hair cut or their car fixed.
We're going to have to leave it there. Ralph Martiri and Elaine Gaberick from the Center for Tax and Budget Accountability, thanks for being with us. We'll have a link to their report on our website, 21stshow.org.